This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL. Next, Peter Block is joined by Dr. Sarah Saberi, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Michigan Medical School in Ann Arbor. They cover testing, safety, and efficacy, the randomized exploratory study of exercise training in hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, the RESET-HCM trial.
So, Sarah, tell me what this trial was about, and then I have to ask you an important question as soon as you're done with that.
We randomized patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy to either a usual activity group or a 16-week period of a moderate-intensity exercise prescription that was individually devised based on heart rate reserve, and our primary outcome was change in peak VO2.
Okay, so the question that I have is, wait a minute, patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy are told not to exercise, so what's going on? Why did you do this, and is this safe?
That's exactly why we did this, because in clinic appointment after clinic appointment, patients would tell us how much they were affected by the fact that they couldn't exercise or were told not to exercise. And more than anything, the fear that that drives into their hearts about something bad could happen to them if they're running or walking or climbing the stairs at home even. And so that's why we pursued doing this study, to try to answer the question of whether or not light to moderate intensity exercise could potentially have some benefits for these patients.
Emphasis here on light to moderate, is that right?
More like moderate. The exercise intensity really did target moderate intensity exercise.
So how much did they work?
So on the first week on protocol, they did 3 sessions of exercise, at least 20 minutes, and targeting a heart rate reserve of 60% with a Borg perceived exertion scale 11 to 14, so really in the moderate range. And then in the weeks 2 through 4 of that trial, they did 4 to 7 sessions a week, and we increased the exercise duration by 5 to 10 minutes each week, up to 60 minutes, and the intensity at 70% of the heart rate reserve. And the rest of the trial, from weeks 5 through 16, they were charged with maintaining their exercise regimen.
So, Sarah, tell me, would they do elliptical work? How did they do this?
The majority of patients actually did a walking regimen, you know, just a pretty simple, just need a pair of shoes and be able to walk around your block. But certainly some patients did do some jogging, light running, elliptical, cycling, stair climbing. Several patients also did, you know, swimming and rowing, things like that.
Okay, so it's a reasonable exercise
program.
So tell me what you found. You compared those that did not exercise with those that exercised, and what is the difference between the two groups?
That there was a significant improvement in peak VO2. So the exercise group had a 1.27 milliliter per kilogram per minute improvement in peak VO2 over the usual activity group, and that was a statistically significant finding. It corresponds to about a 6% increase in oxygen consumption. We also found that they had improved quality of life by one measure of the SF-36 scale.
So this comes down to, if you exercise, you feel better?
You do feel better. I think that that's been proven in all kinds of other patient populations and in the general population as well.
Okay, so now for the hypertroph, what does this really mean? There were other things that obviously you must have measured, whether or not they had rhythm abnormalities, whether or not they passed out, whether or not they dropped dead.
Absolutely.
I mean, we don't like to say drop dead, but the fact of the matter is some people
that's
with hypertrophic disease do.
Right. Absolutely. That is what the primary concern is. The focus in management of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy for decades has been over ventricular arrhythmias and sudden cardiac death. We had absolutely no adverse events, major adverse events, including death, sudden cardiac death, aborted sudden cardiac death, appropriate ICD therapies. And there were no differences among the groups in minor adverse events, including non-sustained ventricular tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, supraventricular tachycardia, and musculoskeletal injuries, things like that. I think what this means for patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and their providers is that we can all feel a little bit more comfortable encouraging patients with HCM to exercise.
let's drill down a little bit, because something must have been a little bit different. Did the number of PVCs go up, for example?
No, the PVC burden actually was reduced. We did a 24-hour Holter monitor on the initial testing day and at follow-up, and all patients wore a 30-day arrhythmia detection monitor continuously, a 24/7 kind of monitor for 30 days. And we actually found that the PVC burden was reduced in the exercise group over the usual activity group. We don't know what that means exactly, but that is encouraging that at least we're not incurring more arrhythmias and more electrical instability.
Let's sort of get down to the bottom line here. A lot of people are out there that have hypertrophic disease of one form or another, some worse, some not so bad. As a clinician now, looking back at these data and back at this trial, what do you say to the folks out there that are taking care of hypertrophic disease? How bad does it be before you have to worry about exercise? And then how good is the exercise for those who are severe?
So our study population would not be considered low risk. About a third reported New York Heart Association class 2 to 3 symptoms. 16% had resting obstruction. Another 26% had already had septal reduction procedure. And so their resting obstruction had already been dealt with. Another 16% with a history of atrial fibrillation, 4% with a history of ventricular tachycardia, ventricular fibrillation, or aborted sudden cardiac death. And these numbers were very representative of our general institution's patient population in terms of HCM baseline characteristics and similar to those of published series. So in a kind of average and representative HCM population, we found that exercise had beneficial effects in terms of functional capacity. Lower peak VO2 has been associated with increased mortality and adverse outcomes in HCM. And to find something as simple as an easy walking program that could actually improve that, I think is a game changer in this field.
Yeah, and in fact, in your trial, the peak VO2 really went up.
It did.
Okay, so final word. If I had a patient with hypertrophic disease, what are you going to tell me?
I would encourage you to learn more about what the baseline functional capacity of your patient is. Maybe start out with a treadmill exercise test to see what their heart rate response and blood pressure response to exercise is. Make sure that you do that with an echo in order to know whether or not they have dynamic obstruction so that you can guide patients and how intensely they should aim at exercising. And then to start out with a low intensity and then build up endurance towards a moderate intensity exercise regimen. I think an appointment with an exercise physiologist and having exercise consultation can be really helpful. And encouraging patients to really listen to their symptoms and not push themselves beyond what they feel comfortable with, but to actively pursue a moderate intensity exercise regimen for basic health benefits.
You don't want them to play professional basketball, though, do you?
We didn't study that in this study, so I can't tell you whether or not that's okay.
Okay, thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
This is Alfred Beauvais, editor-in-chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.